Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the latest edition of Sticky Bleachers, a podcast. I'm Bob here with you today.
And trying not to suck out here in Ireland, I am Corey.
That's always good. Try not to suck, right? I believe that's Joe Madden's motto.
Yes, and it is now the subject of a very popular t-shirt that is raising money for the Joe Madden Foundation. I'm not sure what the cause of the Joe Madden Foundation is, but it almost doesn't matter. I'm sure they're going to sell a heck of a lot of those shirts, although I understand that some fans wearing them got into trouble at a Cardinals game. Cardinals security, I guess, didn't take too hot to those shirts.
That was a hotly contested little match that they had there. So I guess there was some bad words, let's say, said at Jason Hayward, allegedly, although he didn't hear them. So there's a lot of things going on in that game.
Yikes.
So Cardinals fans a little hurt that Jason Hayward left. They don't take losing very well.
Yes, I understand. What happens when the Cardinals play the Angels and they have to see Albert Pujols,
you know,
hitting dingers?
I don't think it really matters that much because it's the Angels. I think they're just happy to see him, and it happens very rarely that they play each other. But that Jason Hayward left to go to the Cubs, I think, is the thing that hurts the most. So
okay,
if you know a Cardinals fan, they don't take losing very well.
Yep. So, yeah, it's always good to see. When a player comes back to the place that they played for a long time after a trade, especially after a trade where it's not this guy like, F this team, I'm out of here.
Well, he signed.
All right, well then, him. Screw him.
Right. He left. Boo! It was his decision.
Boo! Yeah. I need that detail then.
Both him and Pujols left.
They both left. Boo them. Mm-hmm. Get those guys out of here.
Pujols' situation, though, was, I think, an actual benefit for the Cardinals. Like, him not signing with them allowed them to do other things that made them a better team. Mm-hmm. If they would have signed him, they would have been getting his declining years, you know, having to pay, I think his contract's around $200 million. So for 10 years, it's a lot of money for one player in decline. So
yeah,
it actually helped the Cardinals by leaving. So
I have a couple of Irish friends, Bob, who went to Seattle for a conference, and we said, if you're in Seattle, you have to go to a baseball game. You have to go to an American baseball game, like a major league game. Because they asked, what should we do? Like, they've never been, or, well, one of them hadn't been to America before. It's, what should we do? I was like, you've got to go to a baseball game. He's a big sports fan. He had never seen a baseball game. He was, you know, aware of baseball. Like, we are aware of cricket, but we don't have any damn idea how to play it or what
exactly.
We don't know what a crumpet is, so we don't understand cricket. There's 2 weeks in a row that we have the crumpet joke.
Absolutely.
But he had a great, he said it was great. He said that the game was pretty slow, but the experience in the stadium was really cool. He said he was surprised at how pudgy the players could be, that these are professional athletes who are kind of chunky guys, because especially with
playing the Red Sox.
They were playing the Texas Rangers, so he saw, I think it was last Saturday's game, and the Mariners actually won on in 10. And I didn't look up what kind of walk-off it was, and I remember asking him and he wasn't sure, but there was a couple of homers going back and forth. I was just hoping that he would see a couple of home runs, but if something was interesting, you know, the things that you just kind of take for granted of just knowing what things are, and someone who hasn't seen that before might not know what it is when it was happened. He said that they were a little bit confused about the players stealing bases. You know, no one had ever told them that that's something that could happen. And they had heard, like, oh, baseball is such a slow game. Like, nothing ever happens. Like, they throw a pitch, and then nothing happens for the next, like, minute until they throw the next pitch. But it was just something that you don't know that the game is, like, alive. Like, it's a live ball while the pitcher's just, like, staring in at the catcher. It's a live ball, and the guys can just run. So they saw guys like, you know, they saw pick moves and you know, runners leaning and stuff that we just kind of take for granted. And then they didn't know what the term for it was until at their conference, somebody was giving a talk and they used a American sports reference in their talk. They're like, oh, so yeah, you're trying to steal a base by doing this. And they're like, that's what we were seeing those guys do. But he said it was a really cool time.
That's cool. Maybe they should hand out pamphlets like, this is how baseball is played. There's like, here's some terminology and everything.
They even asked some American folks, he said, and this was Seattle, so he said the stadium was mostly empty in April. And
sadly.
They asked some other fans sitting around them, like, hey, can you know, tell us what is going on there? And I guess the other fans next to them, they were Americans. They're like, we don't know the rules. We just come here to drink beer. So They just,
that's an odd place to just go and drink beer.
I guess, especially in Seattle, like when there's craft beer pubs like every block. The
place. Like probably $5 to $10 cheaper.
Yeah, right. Imagine. I mean, just like every dive bar in our shared hometown of Dubuque, replace that with a brew pub, and then you have Seattle.
Right.
At least as I see it in my dreams. I've never actually visited.
Seattle's very beautiful.
Is it?
And we played a few shows there. It was great.
Okay. Did you play at the stadium? Did you book that out?
No, we did not book that up. We couldn't sing the national anthem, so.
Oh. No, what I mean, headline. That's what I meant.
Oh, no. Yeah, I know. Yeah, we couldn't fill the place. It was on a Wednesday. So if it was on a Saturday, yeah, we would have filled the place. So we would have got there. But yeah, we decided to go with, I believe it was the 2-Bit Saloon, which was like a heavy metal bar, which was kind of fun.
Cool.
You walk in there with all the traditional heavy metal stuff going on, like all the flyers and posters of other bands that played, and very dirty and sticky. So
perfect.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Yep.
So my friend is he's a big Simpsons fan, and he told me that everyone at the Seattle game kept talking about this Ken Griffey Jr. guy. Ken Griffey Jr. Apparently they still have not forgotten about Ken Griffey Jr. in Seattle. And
no.
And I said, yes, Ken Griffey Jr., you might remember as the guy who drank too much brain tonic in that episode of The Simpsons and his head got huge. And he was like, that's the guy? That's the same guy? Yes.
That's awesome. That's a great connection.
And something I asked him and I didn't look up, is he part of the organization now?
He's getting inducted into the Hall of Fame, and he's going in as a Mariner. So I don't think he has an official role with them, but he's gone back to Seattle, back home, basically. But it's funny, in Seattle, actually, when we were up there, we went on a little Simpsons tour. We were in, I believe it was Eugene, Oregon, where I think that's where Matt Groening is from.
Yes.
And so we drove by, like, the elementary school, and it looks exactly like the school from The Simpsons. But up in Seattle, they actually turned, I think it was like a 7-Eleven or something, but they turned it into a Quickie Mart, and it looks exactly like a Quickie Mart. We didn't get a chance to get there. I only saw pictures of it, but next time we go there, that's going to be the one stop that we do.
That's something I'll have to recommend to him next time he's in America and in the Pacific Northwest. So shall we go on to some sad news, Bob?
We lost a couple good people yesterday.
Yes, 2016, the year of celebrities better watch their back, continued.
Well, musicians, honestly. I mean, that's the trend that keeps going on. It seems
Yep.
If you're a legendary musician right now, you got a bullseye on your back.
That's right. Famed guitarist China lost yesterday. Far too young. China, not a musician, at least as far as I know, but WWE.
Wonderful voice.
Yes, and amateur adult film superstar China, and reality show superstar, troubled early life, troubled adulthood, and troubled end, Bob.
Yes. China lived a troubled life, but she was the ninth wonder of the world, and
she was.
What did she pass away from? I'm assuming it was steroids or something.
I don't know. As of this recording, Bob, I have not seen any hard facts to that. News is always breaking, and it is a developing story, so we'll have more on that. But something I thought you might find interesting, Bob, I saw someone had embedded a video of her Raw debut. China's debut on Raw, and it must have been the Raw after a pay-per-view, because the story is this: wrestler Goldust was coming out with his girl Marlena. Is that a name you know, Marlena?
I think I remember that. Yep.
Okay, so Goldust.
I think I remember
this
event actually too.
Okay, so Goldust comes out with Marlena, and right away I think it's Jim Ross who goes, "Marlena, look at her. She's beautiful. She looks just like Amy Grant. Amy Grant. Amy Grant's got a great, great country singing voice. Of course, she's going to be appearing on TNN, the Nashville Network." And was Raw on TNN at that time, or was?
Well, I don't think TNN is an actual station.
No, TNN, the Nashville Network.
Oh,
that was a cable.
I doubt. No.
Okay.
Raw was on USA.
Raw was on USA.
It is still on USA.
Okay.
Yeah.
No. So TNN. I don't know. That's what Spike TV used to be. Well, then Spike is something else now.
Was that on cable?
Yeah, it was a cable channel.
Really?
And it was TNN, the Nashville Network. So it was like
really
not quite like country.
It wasn't CMT.
It was not CMT. No, it was a different thing, because I used to watch fishing shows on it, and on Saturday morning they would play fishing shows on TNN. But it was just like any kind of, country. Because
I just remember Spike TV just appearing. And that's where ECW was on. But anyway, WWF wasn't on TNN. Anyway.
Right. Okay. All right. So anyway, there's a fight between Goldust and Triple H over some things that had been said between the two of them. And then suddenly this unknown Amazon woman comes into the ring and starts pummeling on Marlena, who was threatening Triple H. Now, I understand that China must have had a connection with one Triple H, but
I believe they were married. I believe they had a relationship.
I guess that would be count as a connection.
Yeah, technically, depending on what state you're in.
Yeah. Ooh, nice. So I have a couple of reactions from the wrestling world, Bob, and I only got reactions from the tippy top of the A-list of the wrestling world. These are all from Twitter. Shawn Michaels, at Shawn Michaels. I know he's at the tippy top Hall of Famer, I'm sure, someday. Just woke up to the news of China passing. So sad to hear. She was an amazing lady. I will miss her greatly. The real Mick Foley, a man that I know you know very well, Bob, just says, Joni, I'm so sorry. I'll always treasure our friendship. Never forget your kindness to my children. And finally, Super Shredder himself, the real Kevin Nash, says, may the peace you were seeking put you at rest, my friend. He also apologizes for not seeing the pain that she was in at WrestleMania. So I'm wondering if she had some – he just referenced it that she might have been in some pain at WrestleMania. So – sad time.
So a further developing story. You can see if there's some more meat on that bone.
Right. Well, let's put you backstage, Bob, at WWE headquarters and see what we can do. But another loss that we experienced yesterday as a planet is that of Prince.
Absolutely. It was that was devastating news. I mean, I thought China's happened earlier in the week, but it was too much of a devastating blow to find out Prince died and then China died. It was kind of a really crappy morning, but
yes,
we lost a great one in Prince, the Purple King or the Purple Prince, but
Was that his wrestling name? Was that his ring name?
No. You know, he never made it to the wrestling ring.
The Purple Prince?
The Purple Prince, but yeah, he was awesome. I'm kicking myself for never getting a chance to see him. I know he played Coachella a few years back, and I couldn't muster up the money or the time to get out there and go see him, but definitely looks like a great show. Always looked like a consummate entertainer and great songwriter. I mean, one of the great guitar players who could actually write amazing pop songs. And I mean, we all know he can dance and sing and he can go by cymbals. I mean, he can do whatever he wanted. Yeah, so
there you go. Dearly beloved.
And he was a noted Viking fan as well. So
yes.
We lost a Viking fan.
Very, very heavily connected with Minnesota. Also an incredible street basketball player, as of course was made famous in the eternal Dave Chappelle sketch. And I think Prince's legacy is much better than the Rick James legacy that came from afterwards, another Dave Chappelle one. I do have some reactions, Bob, from the sports world for Prince. Again, we're going only tippy top of the crop, because everybody
how we do it here at Sticky Bleachers.
Yes. Now the Minnesota Twins franchise themselves, I don't know if you saw this picture, they lit up their stadium in purple in mourning, and they put on the screen a Prince for his life. I think they had the cover of Purple Rain with the motorcycle and the awesome script there. So it said, fitting that it's a rainy day in Minneapolis today. Kind of sad. A man who goes by a few letters, A-Rod, says, such sad news that Prince was passing, incredible artist and an inspiration. Another man who goes by some letters, D-Wade, he will live on forever. Another one from same tier of athlete, Charles Peanut Tillman, says, wait a minute, Prince died? That just doesn't seem right. And then finally, Bob, the most famous one of all, the Iron Sheik, all caps.
A wrestling connection.
Yes, here. Prince, I love you forever, Bubba. That was in all caps.
Interesting. I saw Deion Sanders had a tweet, and it fit with what I was feeling. It was like something along the lines of, someone tell me Prince isn't really dead, question mark, you know.
Yeah,
and that's pretty much what it was, because it was initial TMZ reports, and it was, you know, you're hoping it's one of those things where it's a false report, you know. You're like, oh no, he's not really dead yet. I mean,
right. And for the first time ever, we were sad to see Neon Deion not get everything that he wanted in that tweet.
I know I think Dion deserves whatever he wants, though. If he wants Prince back alive, I'm not going to try to stop him.
Yep.
Do we have the technology?
That's right. So if you, anyone, any celebrities listening, Tom Arnold, if you can hear me.
Tom Arnold.
Take care of yourself. Look both ways when you cross the street. Hold a grown-up's hand.
Go see a doctor. Get a checkup.
Yes.
Go on a diet. This is just a general blanket suggestions for every famous person out there.
Right. Right.
Do you have a favorite Prince song?
A favorite Corey? Prince song would be, my gosh, it probably would be what's the Dearly Beloved one? It's that one.
Dearly Beloved, we are gathered here today.
Yeah. just because of that.
Dun, 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 dun. I'm getting freeze frame stuck in my head.
We'll just call it very similar. We'll just say it's Dearly Beloved. That's the name of my favorite Prince song. What's yours, Bob?
I love the Batman soundtrack. I think I love that whole thing. That's a great soundtrack.
Do I remember that awesome. Prince didn't like to talk about that, though, in his later years?
Might have
been a rumor. I may be spreading rumors, but I think I remember hearing that that's not something that Prince was happy his name was on years later, although it's certainly a product of its time. Like, it's a product of its
absolutely,
month.
Man.
Like, that could not have been made any other time but summer 1989.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If it came out before that, it would have just been too shocking for the human ears. And if it came out the next year, it would have sounded dated. So it was just a perfect shot. Just like that movie, really.
Yeah. I know it's great. I mean, it fits that movie perfectly, so it makes it very enjoyable. And you would like to think that you couldn't have one without the other. So the movie wouldn't have been as good if Prince didn't do the soundtrack. But also, Nothing Compares to You, the great Sinead O'Connor cover, was always a fun Prince song.
Right.
And then, of course, Purple Rain. I mean, that's another great soundtrack to an awesome movie. Not many musicians can carry their own leading role of a movie and didn't do the soundtrack as well.
Right, right.
I can't think of many. I mean, Justin Timberlake can barely be a B character in a movie, let alone write the soundtrack to it.
Right. And is that the movie, or is it another, it's the other Prince movie that gets referenced in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, right?
Purple Rain, or?
No, it's the other Prince film, wasn't it? It's at the end of that, 15 bucks, little man, my jungle love, oh wee.
Oh yeah, jungle love, yeah.
I think I want to know ya. I don't know. Anyway, Bob, let's talk about sports. Particularly,
we were talking about Prince.
That's
basketball.
Right, Prince, yes. He played at the Super Bowl halftime show. It's one of the most famous performances. So there we go. He plays basketball. He was at the Super Bowl. We're talking about sports. Dave Chappelle, yes. We had last night, again, as of this recording, Cubs pitcher Jake Arrieta throws his second career no-hitter and does it in incredible fashion.
Incredible fashion, absolutely. It was a rout by the Cubs, so.
Yes.
It was impressive. Arrieta's, I mean, he pitched a gem versus the Rockies last week, and looking like he deserves that NL Cy Young Award again for the second year in a row. Already.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's like four.
It's impressive.
Four starts into the season, and he has separated himself. And the Cubs have separated themselves in a run differential. Now, this last night's 16-0 drubbing will certainly help your overall run differential a month into the season.
Especially when they put a big goose egg up on the other end. So.
Well, right. That's right. I have a comment. This is from Yahoo. I usually get them from Reddit, but I finally got one from Yahoo. This is from Travis, who just says simply, well done, Jake and the Cubs, only 10% of the way through the season, but pretty exciting time to be a Cubs fan. Last year, we overachieved a bit. This year, we're just achieving. Keep it going. You didn't suck today, Cubs. There we go.
That's true.
So, yeah.
That's a nice thing to say.
Yeah, another famous Joe Maddenism. And I saw other comments that said things like haters gonna hate, but I did not see any haters. I feel like Jake Arrieta doesn't really attract haters, does he? Are you aware of any?
No, I don't believe so. I think that might be in reference to just Cubs haters. So I don't know.
But they've been pretty quiet this year. I have not seen the Cubs haters so much.
Yeah, that's
this year.
It's a big bandwagon to be rooting for the Cubs this
year. Yeah, it seems like everyone's kind of excited that the Cubs are good.
Doesn't mean there's not Cardinals fans out there, Corey, patrolling the internet trying to let you know.
Well, no, so but that's okay.
The Cubs.
Like, I feel like your longstanding rivals are allowed to hate, and it's actually their job to be haters. But I think when you comment like haters gonna hate, I think they're probably talking about like just like the mainstream. And I haven't seen much of it from that. But yeah, yes, Cardinals fans trolling and downvoting your stuff. Like that's, I think that's part of the game. That's what you got to put up with.
Yeah, and it's so early on. You're not, I don't think you have all these storylines really that have like played out or like gotten old or anything like that, or you just heard so much about them. Like Arrieta hasn't been like beaten to death over the winter and stuff talking about how great he is or anything, or overhyped for fantasy purposes or anything.
Right.
It's pretty just, he's just good. So yes. I mean, just kind of sit back and watch great be great.
Yes. And I tell you, MLB's YouTube output has been very good. We talked about how kind of sloppy the NCAA March Madness YouTube editing was. They were getting everything up on YouTube, but it was very poorly put together. I have to say, MLB, you're doing a bang up job of getting all the content up there, or much of the content, obviously not all of it. And it's really put together, really well presented. It's timely. I can watch my fast cast usually by about 10 a.m. Irish time. That's about 4 a.m. Central. That's usually when they have the previous day's fast cast up. Get everything I need, all the highlights I want. If I want to go selective, or I can now go classic. I can see Bill Buckner bobble that ball for the 3,000th time and just watch the views pile up. That's why, like, that video just gets all those views every day. People have referenced it.
Poor Bill Buckner.
Poor Bill Buckner. Yeah. Yep, that's right.
But I also like to part it with MLB's advanced media. It's nice with our fantasy teams. You can go through and you can see your players' highlights and stuff. So if you don't get a chance to watch them for any amount of time, you can go and watch their highlights of the notable things that they did. So that's always fun, instead of just looking at the numbers on the screen.
There we go. That would be something that I probably should do if I wanted to be a more dedicated fantasy player.
Hey, we made a trade this week, Corey.
I know.
That's dedicated.
I know.
This is for all our listeners out there. We have a Sticky Bleachers Fantasy Baseball League, and Corey and I have been doing this for a number of years now. And
I've never trust Bob. Any trade Bob offers me, I don't know why. I think it's just something about he's got those beady little eyes. And just when he offers me a trade...
You can't even see my eyes with the trade.
No,
you
there's
just
a
picture of them in your head.
No, I have a virus on your machine, Bob, that takes a webcam screenshot.
Oh,
but,
really?
But the light doesn't come on, so I'm all over that.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
So I can see that you're laughing, and you have you've got Cheetos dust all over your mouth. I don't ask any questions on that. Yeah, I don't know.
Just what's... you idiot.
Yeah. You got Mountain Dew Code Red in one hand and Cheetos in the other hand, and you're like, hey, he's gonna take this trade.
Yes, I do that every year.
It's actually
he's gonna take this trade, and then you let it sit for just months, and it just sits there.
Well, I'm always waiting.
Is he mulling it over?
I'm always waiting for my guy to go on the DL, and then I'll accept it.
And then you'll accept
it. I'm waiting for that injury. Fair. It's mostly about because I know that you're a lot more knowledgeable than me, so I'm always like, he must know something I don't. There's got to be something here I'm not seeing.
But even with football stuff, I mean, baseball is one thing, but fantasy football, we don't even come close to trades.
I know.
And you know just as much as I do about football.
Well, I would say yes. Well, I'm a little bit more closely following the details of football than baseball, but I don't know, Bob. Just something
about
it.
So never take that Peyton Manning for Aaron Rodgers trade.
Right. Oh, man.
But yes, so we made a trade. So you're getting to be a dedicated fantasy baseball player.
Yeah.
So
we'll see how that shakes out as the season continues. Hopefully, I can get a little bit more engaged.
How about on the baseball note? I put together a little baseball quiz here for you. I think we're far enough into the baseball season that we're starting to get some stats.
All
stats
right.
That actually matter. So
let's do it.
I wanted to throw out some stats. Some that you know, some that you don't know, and maybe throw a little education there.
Okay.
All right. So here is the first question, Corey. Now, we know that bullpen success is very, very vital to a good team, as the Royals proved last year.
We do.
So knowing, here's the question. Which team has the lowest relief pitching ERA this year? Is it the Royals, the Marlins, the White Sox, or the Dodgers?
I'm going to Right off the bat, I'm going to say it's the Miami Marlins, Bob.
The Miami Marlins. It is actually the Chicago White Sox, surprisingly.
Ooh.
Yes. Last year they had a very a not-so-good bullpen, but this year they are starting off pretty good.
Is John Dank still tearing it up?
I believe he's still in the rotation. Okay. I think he's in the starting rotation.
He's
in
the starting
rotation.
They
have David Rupp.
There we go. I named a White Sox pitcher.
I know you did. And he's been around for a while.
I heard Steve Stone. I'll say trade that you name
John Danks for Jake Arrieta, Corey. John Danks for Jake Arrieta. Go, right?
No. No,
you have Arrieta.
I would need you to put in Frank Thomas into that trade. If you give me John Danks and the Big Hurt, he's still playing, right? And
then I can get Arrieta.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Can I have Jim Tomey too? I'll take that.
I'm sure. Yeah. I don't really want to do that, but sure.
Yeah. All right. You talked me into it.
Yeah.
He's got to be a hitting coach in Double A somewhere. Jim Tomey.
Somewhere. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah.
Probably.
Okay. Wow. Cool. Chicago White Sox.
All right. Chicago White Sox. See, nice job with naming all the White Sox players there. All right. Now, okay, so then we're going to starting pitching here. So which team has the lowest starting pitching ERA here this year? So is it the Cardinals, the Angels, the Nationals, or the Cubs?
I'm going to say it's the Cubs.
And you would be correct, sir. Good job.
Excellent. I knew it wasn't just Arrieta tearing it up, and that's why the Cubs are just plowing through the NL Central.
All right. So this next question is it's got an advanced stat in it. This one's called WOBA. It's W-O-B-A. It's for weighted on-base average. And this is it's a weighted equation that they came up with. It's kind of – it's very similar to batting average, but it takes into account a few more statistics and everything.
Okay.
So I like to use it. It's a good indicator of a team success or a player's success. So which team has the highest WOBA this year? Is it the Blue Jays, the Orioles, Tigers, or the Diamondbacks?
Highest WOBA. So I'm going to be thinking of offensive production.
Yeah, we're talking good offense production.
Yeah, and I'm going to go with Detroit. I'm going to go with the Tigers, Bob.
Detroit. Closer. They are in the top five, but it is the Baltimore Orioles.
Baltimore. All right.
Yep, coming out hot.
Tearing out the base
Mark
path,
Trumbo.
Huh?
Yeah. I mean, that American League East is pretty fun to watch. So, all right. Here's question number four. What team? Well, I'll ask first, actually. Are you familiar with WAR? Wins above replacement?
No. It's a I don't know fairly, that.
It's probably the most popular sabermetric stat out there. So it's the one that Bill James notably came up with in the 80s. But it's wins above replacement. So it's how many wins your player is producing in comparison to somebody that they could bring up from the minor leagues or sign via free agency. So anybody else that's out there. All right. So in that, I'm just going to throw this out here to you, Corey. It's a little bit of a trick question. All right. So just keep that in mind.
Okay.
What team has the highest WAR so far this year? Is it the Pirates, Cardinals, Cubs, or the Rockies?
So having a high WAR means that you have players who are overachieving.
Oh, yep.
What?
Other than, yep. They're overachieving in comparison to players that you could just go pick up off the street.
Okay. All right.
Or from your minor league system.
And can you give me the names of those teams again, Bob?
The Pirates, Cardinals, Cubs, and Rockies.
Because you
a lot
told
of NL
me,
Central there.
Yeah, because you told me it was a trick question, I'm going to say it's not the Cubs. I'm going to say it's someone like the Pirates.
Well, you'd be half correct with that, sir.
Okay.
So it's actually, here's why it was a trick, because it's a tie. So both the Pirates and Cubs are tied with a 5 WAR right now. And surprisingly, the Cardinals are number, 2 or 3, depending how you look at it, right behind them with something like a 4.5 WAR. So that NL Central doing pretty good.
Yeah, so, I guess.
Out of all Major League, right?
Right.
And I'll say this, and this is a little side topic, but I'd watch out for the Pirates. Everyone's high on the Cubs, and everyone always expects the Cardinals to do well, but people can easily forget that the Pirates have been a really good baseball team over the last 5 years, and they might have everything going for them this year.
Right.
So.
You think Kutch could be clutch in 2016?
Yeah. McClutchin.
McClutchin. Did I not just make that up?
It's funny.
Or are we? Is this totally original content here? Don't steal this, please.
I haven't heard it. So
can Kutch be clutch? Yeah. I'm someone selling bootleg T-shirts of it right now. Actually,
right
the factories just started spinning. They just started cranking out T-shirts.
I just got a pop-up on the internet for it.
Ah, perfect. Yeah. There we go. Congratulations,
Pittsburgh Pirates fans.
Your team just won the NL pennant.
All right. Now, this last question here, Corey. This one is it's centered around Prince. So we'll go into the Prince world again. But Prince, whose real first name was Prince, I want you to guess his middle name. All right. Is it Charles, Nelson, Troy, or Rogers? Charles, Nelson, Troy, or Rogers?
So that depends on how mean I think whoever named Prince was. If they were going to give him Prince Charles as his first two given names. And I'm going to say that they were mean enough to say, we're going to call you Prince Charles. And I don't know his last
Charles.
Name. Prince Charles Prince.
Well, his middle name... His middle name was Rogers, actually.
Okay, so. Rogers.
And his last name was Nelson, so it was Prince Charles, or Prince...
Prince
Rogers Nelson. It has a better ring to it, actually, Prince Charles Nelson. But
yeah,
anyway.
Yes, it does.
I don't want to post-mortem change his name, but...
No.
Well, good job, Corey. We got, I think, it was 1.5, correct?
One and a half. That was a tough one.
I'll give you 1.5.
That was a tough one.
I had to throw some things out there, but... We'll keep updating stuff and see how all these teams are doing here over as the year goes on. So,
yeah.
But we had some other baseball stuff that we wanted to talk about. Was it some Irish superstitions that we wanted to hear?
Well, yes. We all know that sports can be a very superstitious thing, especially in fandom. And players also can get superstitious, but I think it probably lives more in the fans because we fans have less to worry about in terms of on-field performance. We just all we have to worry about is sitting there and watching them go. But
I have some baseball superstitions.
Yes, and
they're crazy.
Let's go through. Let's do one Irish sports superstition, and then we'll hear some baseball ones, shall we, Bob?
Let's do it.
Okay, this one is probably the most famous sports curse here, and it's kind of interesting talking with Irish folks here that is like, oh, we have sports curses too. Like, oh, really? I thought we were the only ones, and just like I thought that if Americans were the only ones who had sports curses, but apparently it is a global phenomenon here. And the most famous one is called the Mayo Curse. Now, it's not Mayo the food, although it's spelled M-A-Y-O. It's actually one of the counties in Ireland. In Irish, it is a two-word combo that sounds kind of like mayo. So when you do it in English, they just went mayo. It happened, or it began in 1951, and according to legend, the Mayo Gaelic football team, which we've talked about Gaelic football before, they won the All-Ireland Championship Cup in Dublin, and that night they drove home and were celebrating back in their home county in Mayo. They were partying like crazy. They were smashing up stuff. They were at bars. They were going nuts. And a local priest was giving a funeral ceremony, and they were rambunctiously going through town. And the priest told them to stop being so loud because I'm trying to do this funeral over here, guys. They didn't because they were celebrating winning the equivalent of the Super Bowl. And then the priest cursed them and say they would never win an All-Ireland until all of the players on that team have died. And
no way.
The curse has held on, and there's still a couple of the players left on the team. They have been back to the championship game 29 times since then. They have been to the championship game 29 times, and they and they have lost all of those since 1951.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
So the curse is real.
I mean, that's what gives it credence. It's like 29 times to make it to the game and not win it.
Some Cubs fans would love that. I mean, just to get to the World Series.
I know, yeah. Imagine if that was the Cubs curse. Yeah, it's like you get to the World Series every year and you lose it. Like, well, hardly the worst thing
that's happen. That's the Braves curse.
Ooh, that's the Braves
curse. I know.
Yes.
It's a dig on myself.
Ooh,
there.
Nice.
Anyway.
Nice.
So, hey, we scored a run versus Clayton Kershaw yesterday. That was awesome.
Ooh, yeah, very good. All right, so what are some of your favorite?
Kind of
what are some of your favorite baseball curses, Bob?
Well, this is a baseball curse that actually comes from Japan, from the Hensin Tigers, the founder and mascot of KFC, Colonel Sanders. Apparently, when the Tigers won the 1985 Japanese baseball championship, they went into the streets, the fans went into the streets, and they eventually came across a KFC where there was a statue of Colonel Sanders out there. And in the rioting and the celebration, they took the Colonel Sanders statue and they threw it into the river. And when Colonel Harlan Sanders found out about this, he was not too happy, Corey. And he put a curse on the Tigers and said so the team will actually went on a losing streak, and they finally found the lost statue. It was recovered in the river in March of 2009, but the team's losing record is still intact. So from the grave, even still, Colonel Sanders is keeping up his curse over the Hansine Tigers. And it's pretty funny. I mean, you can only imagine someone like his personal assistant coming in and being like, yeah, this Japanese baseball team, like apparently they threw your statue in a river. And he's like, ah. Cursed! I'm gonna curse them. That's
it. I'm too drunk to taste this chicken. Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of funny, and also here along the lines of just superstitions that certain players have. There was a utility player for the Tampa Bay Rays named Elliot Johnson, and one of his quirks that he had was when his team took the field, he put in a mouthful of grape flavored gum. All right, so he'd chew grape-flavored gum when his team was playing on the field. And when they came out to bat, he'd switch over to watermelon-flavored gum. Mm. And so that's he would do that for every game, every inning. And the story goes, even once the team was out of watermelon and grape gum, so he sent a clubhouse kid to the gas station to buy grape-flavored and watermelon gum so that he could chew it during the game. But there have been a number of crazy superstitions with baseball. Detroit Tigers pitcher Justin Verlander, he apparently eats Taco Bell before every single game. So he goes and I think he gets three crunchy Taco Supremes, no tomatoes, a cheesy gordita crunch, and a Mexican pizza, no tomatoes, every time.
Jeez.
So he eats that before
you can
he
goes out to play. See why our Irish friend noticed that baseball players are pudgy.
Yeah, maybe. And former pitcher Ryan Dempster, he ate at the same Italian restaurant on days when he had to take the mound. And then Matt Garza supposedly treats some teammates to Popeye's chicken every day that he starts. And Wade Boggs, of course, legendary Wade Boggs, ate fried chicken before every game as well. So
that's
probably
why I call
drink
him the
a few
chicken man.
As well. Eat chicken. But so you can see there's a lot of things with baseball players eating foods. Turk Wendell actually was a really famous for his superstitions. I'm not sure if you remember him at all, Corey, but he would go to the mound with four pieces of black licorice in his mouth while he pitched. And then when he'd spit it out, so he wouldn't eat it. He'd just like have it in his mouth. And then when he'd go to the dugout, he'd brush his teeth in between every inning.
Really?
Kind of crazy.
Wow.
Yep. So you'd see pictures of him brushing his teeth in the dugout. He also, when he signed with the Mets, he had a superstition with the number 99. So that was his number when he played. And he actually signed a deal in 1999 for $9,999,999.99. So
wow.
You can only imagine the accountant being like, really? Are you kidding me?
So
you can't just make this.
Was it like a 200-year contract then that he just retired out of long before he got that payment?
No, in 1999, he signed just a deal, a one-year deal for $9,999,999.
Oh, okay. I missed some of those numbers. I thought you said $999
million. No, he did not sign the largest contract in ever.
Yeah, so it was like I added three nines to that. But it's all like, we'll sign you to this $1 billion deal, but we'll make $1 million of it guaranteed. For the first year, and then
it sounds like a Miami Marlins deal. Like, we'll sign you for $50 billion, but really only 75 of it's guaranteed. So
yes, that's wow.
Or any NFL team,
right? Yeah. So that's what I was just thinking, Bob. Would you say then that I mean you understand the sport of baseball as a player more intimately than I do? Do you think that that because baseball is a more laid-back sport, that players have more time to worry about things like superstitions? Like, I feel like NFL players are trying not to, like, die on every single play. That they don't have time to worry about, did I eat at my favorite Italian restaurant this morning? Yeah, or, like, was I in blinding pain and had to put cortisone shots into my knee just to, like, walk today?
It's interesting. That's a good point. I think maybe it lets your mind wander a little bit and you can get in your head a little bit.
Yeah.
I think it really just stems from they did this one thing once and a good result happened. Mm-hmm. So then they're going to do it again. And I think that kind of happens in a lot of sports. I'm sure you have superstitions in football and basketball and everything, but baseball just has probably the quirkiest ones and probably the most time to talk about it.
Well,
so
and
for sure you can get
most sports, Bob, it's very difficult to eat candy while playing them. That's kind of a general rule.
Yes,
that
Marshawn Lynch and Skittles, so.
Yes, but is he munching Skittles while he's plowing over the end zone? Does
well,
he get
when
him
he gets
like
to the bench,
bench. He's now going out into the
I don't know,
gridiron
that counts, Corey.
With Skittles
that counts
in his
for
mouth.
Me. He might. He might have a couple. I don't know. That could be a choking hazard.
Yeah,
but
maybe.
Still.
Yeah, maybe he dips his mouth guard in Mountain Dew or something before he comes out. I guess that would be.
That'd be sweet. Right? Yeah, well, literally, it'd be sweet.
Yeah, that would be quite sweet. Maybe he melts down some Skittles and dips them, or like gets Skittles brand to make him custom made mouth guards out of Skittles material.
Great minds think alike, Corey. That's exactly how I was going.
You need a new mouth guard for every play, of course, because the sugar would just dissolve in your mouth.
But you could make a mouth guard out of Skittles, I think.
Yeah. Well, yeah, sure.
I think actually, if they haven't already thought of that, they should do it.
Because you can mush a Skittle down, can't you? Yeah, just with your thumb. Just some good pressure on your thumb. You can mush it. And then if you mush them together, yeah, sure. It'd be like Legos. Right.
Do you like Skittles but don't like chewing? Try the new Skittles mouth guard.
Wear it while playing football. This message is not approved.
Right.
Tell your
you
mom to buy
your favorite
you a
activities. Right.
So
it just sits and then cakes onto your teeth.
Right. So speaking of curses, Bob, in sports, do you know who is kind of a curse himself or has become a curse himself is Curt Schilling.
Ah, Curse Schilling. That's what we should call him, right?
Curse Schilling. Let's call him Curse Schilling. What, like, we talked about this once before. Like, what is it about
he's kind of just a jerk
who just go off the deep end and become cantankerous, grumpy men? Mm-hmm. And just they can't shut
their
mouth.
They might have always been.
Maybe. Like, maybe Goose Gossage had it out for nerds while he was playing.
Well, you know what? You know what I blame, Corey, for all this stuff? It's social media.
Social media.
I think if we're given Curt Schilling this platform to talk, and it just should not be there.
Right.
So
you think most people
shouldn't have the platform that to get out there and say whatever they
want.
That's
true. But. So what do you think Ty Cobb would have said if we put him on TV?
Oh, man.
Like, here you go, Ty Cobb, we're going to put you
It'd
on
be
TV
beep,
and just
beep,
yeah,
beep,
say whatever you want.
Beep, 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 the beep.
Read us your Ty Cobb manifesto. I think the world needs to know all of your weird, dirty secret.
I think it also doubles as the Klan like handbook.
Yes,
well.
Ty Cobb's book. So for anyone who is unfamiliar, you can look up the story yourself. But the short version is that Curt Schilling was finally fired from ESPN as a television personality after several incidents of him putting things on social media or saying things on radio shows or other media sites that are against. I don't want to get political on this show. This is not what this show is. But things that are that mainstream America has decided are not cool anymore. This particular one, he posted a picture of a very a very caricatured transgendered person. And it was something about the North Carolina bathroom law. He was against transgendered folks using bathrooms that matched their gender identity. And he had this picture of someone with like a leather gimp outfit with like big, like, it's pretty gross, and it had a thing.
Yeah.
This is a quote from Curt Schilling, Bob. You want to hear this quote from Curt Schilling?
Let's do it one more time.
He said in his post, quote, men's rooms were designed for the penis. Women's
That's
rooms,
a fact.
Not so much. So the...
Just designed for the penis.
The great Curt Schilling designed... Someone decided like, all right, we're going to make
what
this...
What should the central theme of this room be?
Yes.
Ah, I got it.
We're
penis.
Yes, we're designing it for and of and by the penis of the penis for the
then
penis.
Then when they went to the women's restroom, they were like, penis? Not so much.
No.
That's a verbatim. That's
right. No,
not
so
much.
Maybe a
not
little.
Not so much.
Not as much as the men's room.
Not so much.
Although, yes, there are those urinals in men's rooms that have the holes that are shaped like things.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe he has a little bit of a point there, because it always is. It's like, that looks like that's weird.
Maybe that's what he was thinking while he was fat fingering that into his smartphone.
Maybe. That's the picture he should have put up then. I mean, really. That would have been, you know, at least supporting his claim that the men's room is designed for the penis.
There you go. So cigarette butts and a urinal cake and the holes. They should have, and some like tobacco spit in there. And an empty bottle of Mountain Dew Code Red to put that into the show again.
With some more cigarette butts.
With cigarette butts and chew spit in the Code Red bottle. Yes.
Yep.
We got it.
Right next to Schilling's bloody sock, because that's about the only thing people want to remember for.
Oh,
the
bloody sock. There we go. So,
I'm surprised he actually has kept his job this long, honestly. I mean, this is like five or six incidents in of saying something that's like, oh man, you're gonna have to take a leave of absence, man. You can't do that.
Right.
Like, you are on national television a lot, so.
And I would have pulled a comment, Bob, but unfortunately this is such a contentious issue that there weren't any funny comments. They were all just people being really nasty to each other on both sides. There was folks that agreed with Kurt, vehemently defending him, calling him like the PC. I don't know. I won't even repeat a lot of the words that they were using, but anyway.
And it's one of the things. We do live in a hyper PC world. I mean, especially in America here, where everyone's got to, you got to stay within the PC correctness of everything. And I don't always agree with that, because it can, freedom of speech, yada, yada, yada. You can do whatever you want. But when you're in the national spotlight and you're doing something like Kurt Schilling does, that's when you really do have to watch what you say and just understand that your opinion is representative of a bigger entity. And so if you want to continue to be employed by said entity, maybe don't piss off like a certain portion of their demographic.
Right.
I don't know.
And
just spitballing here.
Right. And ESPN's audience does not live solely within the state of Florida. So you do have to
North
think.
Carolina.
You have to think. That where is this going to play? I'm sure it would work in Florida. Maybe that's where Kurt Schilling ended up, because I'm sure he has a house there already. Is he from Florida?
Sure. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know a lot about Kurt Schilling, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, you know what? I'm okay with that too. Shall we go on, Bob? Another famous spat in the sports media this week has been between Conor McGregor and outspoken commissioner Dana White, who's becoming more and more like Vince McMahon as the years go on, Bob. I don't know if you have thought that same thing, but
oh, absolutely. I honestly thought he was a fighter when he first saw him. I was like, oh, he must be a fighter, but. I have no idea what this guy did before UFC, but it was probably shady.
Yes.
But he runs UFC kind of like, I don't know, it's like a glorified underground fighting ring, basically.
Right.
Because it's not, well, we were just talking about this last week, right, with the fighter who passed away.
Yeah.
There's no.
And Conor McGregor was in the front row of that match that I have seen. He was in town for that match. He was in Dublin, where I live, everybody, where I'm living right now. Conor McGregor was there. And Conor McGregor is also a Dublin native. But the short version of this story, for anyone who is not sure yet on that, Conor McGregor. And I guess there's going to be an announcement later today, again, as of this recording. So by the time you hear this, this will have probably been resolved. But Conor McGregor suddenly made an announcement that he was retiring, and it was tied to a commitment that he had, a contractual commitment to fly from his training facility in Iceland, which he built himself, to Las Vegas to shoot a promo for his upcoming rematch at UFC 200 with Nate Diaz, who is the guy who submitted him with that grisly, grisly chokehold a couple of months ago. And he said, no, I'm not leaving my training facility. He said in his defense that was why he lost his last match, because he wasn't able to focus on training because he was doing the hype machine for
the classic Rocky fall.
Yes, that's right. Like, I can't train because I am on TV. And
you need to go to Russia.
Yes, get out there, out into the sticks. Well, that's what
in
he
the snow.
He built it in Iceland. I mean, he built it in Reykjavik, so he's like, no distractions.
Someplace cold.
Right, someplace cold. I think that's key.
As we learned from Mighty Ducks D2, though, Iceland is green, and Greenland is ice.
And they're also the bad guys.
They're always the bad guys.
We always know that. But so Dana White...
I'll be Germany.
You're right. Dana White said, well, fine, if you're going to break your contract, then I'm taking you off the card. And Conor McGregor said, fine, I'm taking my boxing gloves and going home. And I'm retired now, and I'm going to announce it. Well, they wear some kind of gloves, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess they're not
boxing gloves. So that'd be fun, though, if they couldn't use their fingers and
that's
stuff.
That's right. Well, I guess they couldn't put each other in those horrible looking submissions. But it's kind of gone back and forth a little bit. Conor has since said, "I am not retired." He did offer a couple of compromises. He offered a flight to New York, which is a lot closer for those non-geography nuts among us. New York is closer to Iceland than is Las Vegas. So.
Good. Yeah, so they wanted the first match originally in Vegas.
Well, yeah, and the match, I think, was still going to be there. He didn't want to fly there to do the promos, because Conor McGregor also was whining about, and I am going to use the word whining, about having to do press tours where you go on morning radio and go on like TV shows and talk shows with people. And he was
weird, wacky world.
He was criticizing them. He said, "I have to talk to people who don't know anything about my sport, who don't care about my sport, they are just covering this because they need to cover something. So I'm doing interviews with people who don't know who I am. They don't care about what my achievements are. They just need to fill something. And all these people are making money off of me. And I'm only making $20 million per fight. And all these other people are making money too. So
welcome to it.
Welcome to. I mean, that's the biz. So
that's America.
That's America. I know you can't. You grew up in Dublin, but you in America now, buddy. So
well, I'm pretty sure that's a world thing too. If you're famous, there's going to be people that latch on and make money off you. I mean,
right.
Whether you know them or not, you know.
Right. So yeah, he said things like, I don't know, Tom and Dick and Jane, whoever, and I think he used some expletives in his post.
Of course.
He just didn't like having to drive around. He's Irish. That's right. So they would use the expletives in their posts. They know how to swear here. They certainly do.
Oh yeah,
know how to swear here.
It's like poetry. It's awesome.
It is, and Irish poetry has swearing in it sometimes.
Yeah, that's good. Well, is it resolved as to like is he gonna do the fight?
Of this recording, it's not. A little inside baseball. We're recording at around 11 or 12 Central time and 2 p.m. Pacific time as of this recording today, there's going to be a press conference. And I assume it is assumed that is when Dana White is going to announce whether or not he has resolved this with him, if it's going to be Conor McGregor at UFC 200 or if Conor McGregor is done. So
here's my prediction for it. Dana White is going to challenge Conor to a fight. He's gonna get in there, and he's gonna take off his shirt, and he's gonna have a tank top underneath, and he's gonna be like, "I challenge you," and he's gonna say it really low like that.
All right,
and that's what's gonna happen.
Wow!
And then the Undertaker's gonna come out and be like, "We're gonna have a Hell in the Cell match."
A Hell in the Cell match. Well, I mean, the Octagon is a little bit like a Hell in the Cell match already.
I like it. They're just like, we're gonna then put flames on the side and everything. It'll be great.
Now is that a death match challenge? Do you call it that if you put flames on the side? Is it called a death match?
Oh, well, it could be. I don't know if they've ever put, they have put flames on the side. Yeah, I think Undertaker and Kane had a match.
Okay.
I forget what they called it, but they did have flames, I think, around the ring.
Okay, all right.
Because, like, Kane got his hand caught on fire or something.
Right.
Someone got caught on fire. But I don't know if they called it that. I don't know if they called it a death match or not.
Now, Hell in the Cell, Bob, if I remember, has to have a ceiling to the cage. Is that correct? But just a regular cage match has an open top that they have to climb out.
Yes, that is correct, Corey.
Okay,
that is correct.
Yeah, we'll see if we can adjust those rules because I love your prediction, Bob, of Dana White challenging him and Undertaker announcing that it's going to be a steel cage challenge.
It might even be like they get him into the same room and that he's really nice to him and then all of a sudden he, you know, I don't know if Dana White has like a Shane McMahon type character, an evil henchman son that will do his bidding, but maybe. I don't know. We'll see where the storyline goes.
Yeah.
I'd also like to see a Mad Max style like Thunderdome fight. That'd be great. Like where it's like a kind of a circular cage, and then you get a bunch of people fighting in that. That might be fun.
Yep.
But maybe for a different UFC event.
Right. There's also some rumors, Bob, and this would be interesting. There actually is rumors, and I don't know if you, before we went off on this joke tangent, if you knew about this, but there are rumors that he is going to go to WWE. That Conor McGregor is going to say, I'm done with UFC. I'm going to WWE, and it's going to be me and Sheamus tag matches from now till eternity.
I really don't know why more of them don't do it. I mean, I know Brock Lesnar goes back and forth. He gets to Moonlight.
He does go back and forth, yes.
And he is such an interesting Brock Lesnar athlete. Like he apparently just gets to try whatever he wants. He's like Michael Jordan. Like, I want to play football. All right, cool. Here's an NFL team that'll sign you. I want to do UFC. All right, well, here's the headlining match.
Yeah.
I want to be a wrestler. All right, well, here's the headliner at WrestleMania. You want the WWE title too? Here you go.
Yeah. Like, all right, cool.
I don't know why. He looks like he's a good athlete. So you're like, must be good. Absolutely.
So,
want to play basketball too?
But you don't think if Kane wanted to get a minor league contract with Tampa Bay that they would say, yeah, come on. That's a good idea. Bring your red mask.
It might. Well, for a minor league team, yeah, they might do that actually.
Okay. All right.
Anything to get people in the seats. Like, come see Kane hit dingers or try to hit dingers.
Dingers.
I don't know.
Dingers. Yeah. Just see Kane. Listen to Kane and Truckosaurus.
Everyone dresses in the red jersey, like they put on his red outfit.
Yep.
And they have to wear the mask too. Yeah. That'd be
if you're not there, you better be dead or in jail. So we'll...
I think that'd be a great minor league promo. Maybe they should send out more WWE wrestlers to play minor league baseball.
Hey, well, there you go. Well, cool. Kane, if you can hear this message, chip me off 10% for the finder's fee there. I'll help make that Absolutely. Connection. Mm-hmm. Let's take a look at the world of competitive speed gaming, Bob, shall we?
Absolutely. We go right from UFC to competitive speed.
Yeah,
gaming.
I know. Yeah. Spent, it's like right? The most brutal sports to the most cushy but fun sport.
Well, you can tie them together, though, with Taco Bell and Mountain Dew Code Red.
Oh, my God. Lots of Bam. Junk food and sodas involved in the world of speed gaming. And I don't mean that in a derogatory
way. And UFC.
Way. I mean that. And UFC. Oh, that's right. Yes. And I mean that in a very very complimentary way, because these folks...
There's less Affliction t-shirts than UFC has. But
Right.
But just the same amount of Taco Bell and Code Red.
Right. So. Okay, so a couple of speedrun world records just from the last few days, the last week. We have a new world record in Super Double Dragon, the Any% category, in 38 minutes, 14 seconds by Hot Muff Sandwich. Thank you very much. We have a new record in Doom 2 Hell on Earth UV Max category in 1 hour, 39 minutes, 26 seconds. We have a... What's that?
What platform was Doom 2 on?
I think Doom 2 is PC game. PC game. And actually, within one day, Bob, we had the Dark Souls 3 All Bosses categories record beaten twice. The most recent one, within one day, it was beaten and then beaten again by someone else. The current one, as of this recording, is 1 hour, 11 minutes, 43 seconds by Distortion 2. We have The Legend of Zelda Twilight.
Did Distortion 1 beat him?
Distortion 1 was not the other one. I did not take note. I should have taken a note of who had it first, because he or she also deserves some credit for being the world record holder for about 10 hours.
Do you think Distortion 2 wanted to have Distortion 1 as a name and it was already taken? Like, crap.
Possibly. What we need to do is we need to go to like distortion1.tumblr.com and see who's on there. see what's going on there.
Okay.
We'll take a look at that. And I have two more. We have The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess, the 100% category, in 6 hours, 50 minutes, and 36 seconds by DMoon9. So, yeah, nearly 7 hours of solid play there for Twilight Princess. And then finally, the game Goat Simulator, G-O-A-T, that's right, the animal simulator, all trophies category, world record, 27 minutes, 35 seconds. So congratulations to all of those runners.
Can we go back to Goat Simulator here? Are you familiar with this game?
I was not familiar with this game until I pulled that one. So it's a goat simulator.
Can you expand upon that? Like, is there?
I can't.
What do you do in the game?
I can't, because I did not get a chance to watch this record. I planned on doing it before we recorded today. I did not get a chance to watch this record.
I know what I'm doing the rest of the day.
You're watching Goat Simulator run-throughs.
I'm going to find it. I got to find it.
Okay.
Is it a PC game or is it is it on a console?
The platform wasn't listed here in the world record listing. That's something that I could have done, but I'm just a sloppy preparer, Bob. You can call me that.
I'll give you a free pass this time.
All right, I guess.
But next time, don't bring up Goat Simulator without some hard facts behind it, Corey.
Yeah, all right, I guess that's all we have for the speedruns, Bob. So, wow, what a week in sports and life.
I know. Yeah, it's been a busy week. So, and we haven't even touched on the NBA playoffs yet. So we'll have to save that for next week's podcast.
Yes, that's right. Because it's hard to remember that's going on too, and it's also exciting things happening there. Steph Curry. Resting after a busy, busy season, maybe getting a little bit of rest in the first few rounds of the playoffs.
Tweaked his ankle a little bit, I believe. So they were giving him a day or two off, but I don't know. I don't think there's any matchups and stuff that have been super surprising. None decided yet. So
okay,
we'll get everybody with the outcomes and start covering that stuff next week. But
yes.
I don't know. Do you have anything else, Corey?
I think that's it. So I'll say let's go through our places where you can find us. We are Sticky Bleachers
Absolutely.
On
the plug party.
Twitter. Yes, we are on Twitter. We are on Facebook. We are on YouTube, where we're putting up game simulations every week. Shout outs to our friend Baron Von Lecter, who listed our simulation game from last week on his ROM hacking site. He is the author of many great ROM hacks, including most of the ones that we use for our modern simulations and our Negro League series, which you can also catch on our YouTube channel. We have new ones coming out there every week, and we will keep that going through the baseball season and hopefully maybe some NBA playoff action too there, Bob.
I think we can get some of that going as well. So
yeah.
once the once the massive amounts of teams start to dwindle to a more respectable number.
Right, and we won't have to
right
worry
now,
about
teams. Right, I think we're
still half the league. Yeah, I won't have to look up who the rosters are for the Raptors. I'll wait till all of the chaff has been separated. Oh,
don't
Bob,
sleep on the Raptors,
Bob's
Corey.
Waving
come
the finger
now.
At me. All right, well, let's talk about how the Raptors are doing next week, Bob. So for Sticky Bleachers for now, I'm Corey, signing off.
I'm Bob. We'll see you guys next time.
Play ball!
Stinky.